Welcome back to All About Flying, and in this episode, I'm going to be focusing on the written test and the theoretical part of getting your pilot's license. I'm going to specifically focus on how the test is structured and what to expect from that, how I prepared, and then what recommendations I have for you if you want to take the test. So, the structure of the written test, it is a 60-question, maximum of 2.5 hour long test, and you need a minimum of 70% on it to score. So this test is going to be on everything from weather and what you should do while you're flying, so like how high you should be for certain maneuvers and who you can call for what information and procedures like that, all the way to aerodynamics and regulations that you're going to need to follow, anything and everything that you think you're going to need to know. And this is all information that you're still going to need no matter how long you wait in between your written and your check ride, because they're going to ask you most of the same stuff on your check ride again. So you're going to need to learn it and keep up to date with it. So the 70% that you need to pass, while it's true that you technically need a 70%, you really should focus for higher, because on the check ride during the oral section, when you're talking about a bunch of different things, they're going to decide how hard to make the oral based on how well you did on your written, because if you didn't know it then, they want to know for sure that you know it now, but they might go a little bit lighter if you knew it back then and just assume that you kept it. Also, for the test, you can take it as many times as you need, but once again, the less attempts it takes, the better it looks for you when you're trying to take your practical and your check ride and they're asking about certain things to you. So, how I prepared for this. So, I think I said this before, but what I did specifically was, at my school, every time we really couldn't fly, or anytime it was kind of iffy, so if it was a bad weather day, or if it was at night before I was ready for that, or something like that, then we would do a ground lesson. And it was a one-on-one lesson with an instructor, and I personally thought that really helped me learn, just because it was a lot easier for me to ask questions to a person one-on-one than to try to do it by myself and Google that kind of stuff, and maybe never get a real answer and have it really hard to find them. So on top of that, I did a class with, I believe it was 5 or 6 other people, and an instructor who was a retired airline pilot and who decided to do this in their free time and to keep busy. Again, I think it was really helpful. He went into a lot of depth and kind of stuff that I never went around with my personal instructors, just because they hadn't had that kind of experience. So, for example, he may focus on something that you're really going to need well after you pass the test and are flying on your own, but while you still need to know it, he may go a little bit lighter on the information that you're really going to need for the test and use once you know that kind of information. It's on the driver's test too. So when I was there, they also gave me a practice book. So the brand is called Gleim, G-L-E-I-M, and it's just a practice book, so it goes through everything and then also has a bunch of different practice questions for each section. And again, it's going to be what you really need to do to learn, but I think that helped me as well, just going through them all. And then on top of that, I also found something online where, again, it just kind of asked a bunch of questions in the format that the test was going to be like. So I believe it's A, B, C, D, and just 60 questions with a kind of difficult time of formatting and a little bit of pictures that would go along with it. So that actually really helped me, and I think that everyone really should be doing that specifically, or practice questions in general, because from what I found, a lot of the test questions for real, so probably about 30 or 40 out of the 60 I had seen already, and they were in the practice banks that I was already using, which is a very interesting thing to happen, and I was not really expecting that, but it's really helpful because then you can always go back and relearn it and know that it's kind of the standard that you're supposed to be held to. But those are the big things that I really did to prepare. And you're gonna need to take a written test for every single license that you have to take, or certification or anything like that. So you should really know how you learn, and all you really need to do is keep building off of that, just because you know what you need to do. That's what's gonna happen. That's what's gonna help. This is really all about how you learn and getting everything through to you, how you're gonna remember it, and passing a test like you would at school or any other thing. Something else that's a really interesting thing that you should think about when you're doing this is, in that course that I took with the retired airline instructor, I think that that's a really good way to kind of know what you're getting into if that's what you plan on going to do as a career or however far you want to go along with it, because someone like that who has already experienced it really can help you get information firsthand. So I don't personally want to be an airline pilot, but you can ask him a lot of different questions about like areas that you may have a little bit of interest in, or like if you're worried about a specific area. So for example, if you're worried about how much you're going to travel or how much you're really going to have to work in the beginning, because it's a very different lifestyle than most people have to live, because you have to travel and stay in hotels, and you may work 4 or 5 nights a week and then just have off the rest of the 3. But it's a very interesting situation, and someone like that who's already been through everything can give you a lot of information on, one, how they dealt with everything, and two, how you can really deal with everything to kind of get through it or prepare in your own sense. So for example, again, if you're wondering what type of planes you might fly, or how becoming a captain at an airline works after you go through the regionals or something like that, someone that's already experienced it and probably is retired has a lot more information and a lot easier to access than going online and just trying to Google it. And I was actually really fortunate with my instructor, because he decided that after he retired from the airlines, he wanted to really expand his horizons in ways that most people would not. So he also got his helicopter license and seaplane license, and I believe he also had his tailwheel. He was able to fly about 4 or 5 different airliners, so he had a lot of information that if I had any inclination of ever going, for example, to also have my helicopter license, he could really help me and give me information like that. And I know that he also teaches the same course for instrument where I go, which is, again, a really good tool, because he knows what to expect and what you need to focus on now as a private pilot that they may not focus on in instruments. So for example, he said that weather's a really big part of private pilot license, but not a big part of instrument. But instrument is when you can really fly on worst days, so you kind of need to really hone up on weather when you're trying to do that. And it's just something that you can kind of keep in the back of your head for depending on how far you want to go and everything you want to go career-wise or even personal-wise if you want to expand your horizons. Alright, so the final thing that I'm going to talk about in this episode is going to be my recommendations for how you prepare. And something else that you should really know before you are going to take the test is that you're going to have to call and then specifically say where you want to take the test, and they're going to have a lot of different locations. So, for example, you don't have to take the test at the airport you normally train at. If there's someone that's closer to you that you feel comfortable going to, or something like that, that would, if they're not open or something that would hinder you like that, then you can take it somewhere else. But it's helpful to do it where you've been training just because you're comfortable there. You can ask about the procedures. So for example, I asked where I was going to be taking the test and had the ability to look in beforehand and kind of know where I was going to be doing that. And it was pretty much the same as a room that I'd been learning all about this stuff in for a good month or two, and a lot of time that I spent doing it. So I was pretty comfortable there where it was, which definitely helps you when you're trying to take a test like that. But again, I recommend going through question banks, and I think that it would be better to over-prepare for this than under-prepare, because I think that this is one of those tests where you can't completely guess. Like, if you have no clue what's going on, it's not going to be a educated guess. It's going to be more of a one answer is insane, and then you've just got a 33 or 50% shot or whatever it is to get it. And when you're putting that much money and time and having some repercussions later on, I just don't believe that that's the way you should really be taking this. And on top of that, this is something that you're gonna need to know. So I really don't think that the best way to go through with this is to just go through halfway done with all your work and unprepared. But I personally think that if you can, if you have the time and if you have the money to take a little course over a weekend, which is what I did, that I kept talking about, it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday for 8 or 9 hours a day. It was pretty intense, but I think that it really helped because, first of all, I spread out my training over a couple of months at that point, and having it all in such a short time, yeah, it definitely overloads you, but it's a good way to review all the stuff that you learned from the very beginning and refresh up on that, while on top of that also being able to get the benefits from your instructor, like I said in the last part. So I would recommend it if you have the ability to. You don't have to. There's definitely ways online that you could do it. I know there's specifically a course at Sporty's that you can pay $100 or $200 to do when they have videos and everything. So if that's how you learn better online with something like that, go for it. If you think you're going to do better with like a hard copy book, you can order those as well. The FAA sells hard copies of it, but everything that the FAA has is free online, so you can go through the textbook online and then just do a bunch of practice questions online as well. I don't remember the specific website that I did to do it, but I mean, anywhere you go, it's going to have most of the same questions, and you're not going to be at any disadvantage going to one specific site over the other, as long as they're both decently popular. And if you go to the course, they're going to recommend one for you. No matter what you do, I think you're going to be fine. It's 60 questions. I did not take the full 2.5 hours. If you're preparing for it, you're going to be fine. It's not something to worry about. I mean, it's not really that much pressure on you while you're taking the test. And after you take the test, they're going to specifically give you the questions that you did wrong. So you're going to be able to say, see, oh, there was this one on weather that you were iffy about. And at the end, it'll say specifically, like, it'll give you the exact question again with all the answers and tell you which one you picked, but I don't think it'll give you the right one, but it'll tell you all the ones that you picked. And after that, you're going to get a piece of paper saying that you passed. And on that piece of paper, it's going to give a list of all the topics that you got wrong. So it's going to be a couple of numbers. So I'm just making this up, but it's going to say 10-05 or something like that. And that's specifically going to go to weather, which you know you had the issue on. Or there's going to be 11-06, and it's going to be general, so it might just say flight planning or weather. But you took the test, you generally know what you got wrong, especially because you could see the questions again, so you can specifically write down after, oh, I know I had an issue with the types of clouds that there are, and go through that. But you're gonna have to go over everything with an instructor that you did wrong. So no matter what you do, it's gonna be fine. And I would recommend over-preparing rather than under-preparing. And now a quick word from a sponsor. Alright, so for the next episode, I'm just going to be talking about what you can do next, what I've heard are some of the best options for what you can do next. And then after that, I'm going to talk about some of the stories and things that I've seen and picked up on while I've gone flying, whether it's been with an instructor or without. Thanks for listening to All About Flying, and remember to follow or like or give it 5 stars or whatever that kind of thing is for the platform that you're listening on. Thanks for listening.